everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks. Mr. Fairbanks engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, February 12th. And of course today, listen, I'm from the land of Lincoln. This used to be a very, very big holiday where I grew up. In fact, it was a national holiday. Lincoln's birthday, and of course, coming up, Washington's birthday on the 22nd of February. Tom, do you remember any of that? Any of those things?
I wasn't around when Lincoln was born.
You weren't around when Lincoln was born. No. Okay.
What if they decide to do away with the penny, are you going to object?
No, well, maybe not. But anyway, it's Lincoln's birthday, and it's also a day we're going to be in the mid to, some places, upper 80s.
Well, we'll actually celebrate Lincoln's birthday on Monday.
Yeah. Can you imagine how good that temperature must I was picturing this morning, like folks leaving O'Hare in Chicago or Minneapolis. They're flying out to Tucson and they're leaving like 10 degrees the high in Minneapolis today. And the pilot is saying, I just got the weather. We'll be landing in Tucson. The high, currently they're showing 86 degrees. I think everybody would burst out. They would burst out in
applause.
There you go. All right, the Buckmaster Show, our media partners, folks that we want to thank, who support our work, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, and TucsonLifestyle.com, and Emil Franzi's publication, Southern Arizona News Examiner. All of those media groups have the Buckmaster Show on their website. So there's an easy link over to us, which is really nice, and I appreciate that, the support among the media who support our work. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Tucson's new police chief, Christopher Magnus. Chief Magnus has been on the job about maybe a month or so?
Yeah, about 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay. That's good enough. He was named to the position by the Tucson City Council, succeeding Roberto Villasenor. Chief Senor Villasenor retired from his position. Chief Magnus comes to Tucson from Richmond, California. Prior to that, he was the chief in Fargo, North Dakota. So he served over in Richmond. For folks who don't know Richmond, it's in the East Bay of the San Francisco Bay Area. Joining me in studio to talk with Chief Magnus, speaking of TucsonSentinel.com, one of our media supporters, and I'll thank him right now. Hello, Dylan. Thank you for your support.
Absolutely. And, it's always a pleasure to spread the word about what goes on your program. And definitely, I always love coming in and taking part.
Oh, we love to have you here. Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Chief Magnus, how have the first 3 weeks gone, and what do you think of the community so far?
Boy, they've gone fast. I tell you, it's been a whirlwind of getting out to the department alone, of course, is pretty big operation across town, multiple stations, places to visit, people to get to meet and see how things work. So I've enjoyed that. But also just getting out into the community has been fantastic. It's been a really welcoming city to come into. People have been extremely nice. They're very proud of their community, which is great. Everybody has told me what the best Mexican restaurant in town is, the place to get your dry cleaning done.
Different restaurants.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So
yeah, we really do pride ourselves on being kind of a very restaurant diverse community too. We were named the United Nations named us
one of the cities of gastronomy
worldwide.
And
I wanted you to say gastronomy because I probably would have screwed
that's
it
not,
up.
Not just restaurants, but our entire sort of culture around food with, people backyard gardening and trying to eat healthy and eating local. So,
great restaurants.
And also, I would say some of the best restaurants, not just Mexican food, but, certainly we're known through that, but, some really, really good food here.
On a real serious subject.
So you're going to have to keep working out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
A serious subject, Chief. In Richmond, they lost an officer to a domestic violence incident. And in Fargo also.
Yes.
So a little odd coincidence there, that two places that you're very familiar with losing officers. Both were, I guess, domestic violence?
Yeah, incidents. They were both tied into DV incidents, both incredibly tragic. You can imagine how shocked and devastated I was to learn that officers from two departments that I had the privilege of serving as chief were both killed in the same night. Terrible, terrible news. And does reinforce a couple of things. One, of course, the dangers that we know go with this profession, but also how critical it is that we continue to focus on domestic violence as a real challenge and a source of incredible tragedy if we can't get a better handle on how we work with DV survivors and how we work to prevent domestic violence.
790-2040, if you have a question or comment. Tom has been waiting patiently, and then Dylan will have his first question. But Tom, I don't want to keep you waiting on hold. I want you to be able to speak with the police chief of Tucson, Arizona. Go ahead, Tom.
Chief, what is your attitude and what practices will you put in place for the treatment toward the homeless, especially in the areas of the city where they gather the most?
Okay, thank you, Tom. Go ahead, Chief Magnus.
No, it's a big issue and a challenge in a lot of cities. As you can imagine, coming from the Bay Area, this has been particularly difficult in cities like San Francisco and, for that matter, where I was previously in Richmond. Homelessness is a tough issue to deal with because it also involves so many other often aligned circumstances that you have to be able to deal with that include often mental health, substance abuse, addiction, poverty, a whole range of other factors. So I think, you know, we're moving in the right direction here in Tucson, and there's some very interesting initiatives that are happening through several members of City Council and others around really trying to take kind of a case management approach where you really zero in on the individuals who are homeless, and through a partnership that involves a lot of different service providers, because in some cases, many of these folks are veterans. But there are other circumstances where you really need a team effort to look at an individual and try to figure out what are the combination of services and resources. There's a role for the police to play in that, but they can't do it alone. It has to be a partnership. And I think we're seeing some evidence of that approach working, not only around homelessness, actually, but around mental health as well. It's not a large number of people necessarily, but you really have to work together to address the problem.
Here is Dylan Smith, editor-publisher, TucsonSentinel.com.
For people who aren't familiar with your background, you were the police chief in Fargo.
Yes.
And then in Richmond, California, in the Bay Area, right next to Oakland, right?
Right.
And those are much smaller communities, mm-hmm. Even though the Bay Area is huge, your focus on Richmond, you know, how
sure.
big of a city is that?
So Richmond's about 110,000 and, of course, a very large metropolitan area.
Yeah.
But small though it may be, it had some pretty significant challenges.
It was a very violent city.
Very, very violent city. When I came to Richmond, they were reeling with about a homicide a week. And for a city of 110,000 to be in the 50-plus homicide range yearly, and many, many shootings, gang violence, a lot of other challenges with drugs and activity, you know, we really had to become very collaborative, creative, have some very strong partnerships, and really find ways to engage the community. So I think even though this is, of course, a larger city, many of those same strategies are equally important for the challenges that Tucson faces.
Richmond is also a community that has some pretty deep troubles around race, right?
No, that's right. It's a city that's predominantly persons of color, very large African American and Latino population. And so it really provided me with an opportunity to work with a broad range of community folks and to really get to know a lot of different cultural, ethnic, racial groups in the city. That enriched, I think, my ability to be a good problem solver, to take some different approaches to public safety and fighting crime. And it was a good complement to my experience both in Fargo and then where most of my police career was in Lansing, Michigan, which also reminds me in some ways of Tucson without the benefits of the 85-degree February days, I guess.
So I know you did a good deal of research about Tucson. I mean, you've been here for 3 weeks, but a couple months back when you were interviewed for this position, your answers indicated you'd done some pretty deep looking at what our community is and how the department was structured and what they were doing. What sort of changes do you think need to be made, or what sort of programs that are in existence need to be reinforced and we need to do more of as far as what TPD's been doing?
Well, I think one of the challenges that Tucson faces, and not unlike Richmond, frankly, although on a larger scale, is the structural deficit that we face as a community and local government. And then, of course, that trickles down into the police department, where we have to look at what is the size of the department, how do we provide the kind of services that the community both wants and needs with a budget that is, in fact, constricting, even as the community is growing.
Right now you have cuts that you are supposed to be recommending to the city manager. What are some of those?
That's right. But having working in sort of in a time of scarcity actually presents some interesting opportunities, because I think you have to get away from just looking at that as a time where you're cutting back on programs or chopping away services, and instead look at how you're structured as an agency and what kind of things you might be able to do differently as you start to change and update that structure to meet the new financial reality that you're up against. I mean, this is the challenge in government, of course, overall, and probably in business, in many businesses as well. But I think we're really well poised within the department. I've got a number of professional employees and sworn folks who are really ready to meet this challenge and who are ready to look at change, not as something negative or that just means cutting back, but as an opportunity maybe to do some things differently and provide better services, even with a tighter budget.
Well, our sources at City Hall tell us that looking at the various levels of cuts, one of the things that came out of TPD was the elimination of almost all traffic enforcement. Is that true?
I don't think that's true. I think there is still actually some very good traffic enforcement efforts that are being made. But I'll tell you, one of my biases, frankly, is very pro-traffic. I think that because traffic is not just about public safety in terms of safeguarding lives and dealing with accident reduction, DUI reduction. It's also a key way that we figure out what's going on in terms of criminal activity. Traffic often leads to really key criminal investigations and arrests that make a community safer. So I think traffic is a smart investment within any police department, but it also needs to be larger than just the effort of one unit of men and women, perhaps on motorcycles. It needs to be incorporated into the entire patrol focus of an agency. Because if you talk to people in pretty much any neighborhood, really regardless of the crime level, one of the first things they're going to complain about is traffic in their neighborhood. Cars going too fast, things not being engineered correctly. We've got a role to play wherever we're at when it comes to traffic if we're really concerned about public safety.
All right, we're going to take our first break here of the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Kevin Lehman is with us on the live line. And Dr. Lehman, if you can hang on through our break, because we do need to take that break right here, but he has a question for Chief Magnus about domestic violence education, and we will get to that right after we take the break. But it is Rock and Roll Friday on Buckmaster, our bump music today from Todd Rundgren.
Something here doesn't last too long.
Hey,
honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Well,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Amol Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Our 60s. I'm in the habit of saying.
You got that. That's just part of the pattern, isn't it?
60s bump music. No, as of last week, we've become more music inclusive here on the Buckmaster Show.
Well, when did that song come? When did that
song come out? This one, 1972. So I wanted, and the reason I did it last week, I wanted to include Bonnie Tyler with Total Breakdown of the Heart.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
That's and I wanted to hear that in the bump music, so it's my show. So
exactly.
We're
you call the shots.
That's it. All right. Christopher Magnus is the new police chief in Tucson. You are also hearing the voice of Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. And is Dr. Lehman still with us? I hope. Good. Kevin Lehman, go ahead. You're with Chief Magnus. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, Kevin. Well, hi, Bill, and hi, Chief Magnus, and welcome to Tucson. I think you're going to enjoy our town.
Thank you.
Listen, I just wanted to say, it's really a curiosity question. Domestic violence is huge today. Even marriage, average marriage lasts a whopping 7 years, and then you're done. You're fighting over who owns what. But I'm just wondering if you're aware of any police department in the nation that has sponsored events that would really educate men about women, I'll admit they're a little weird, and educate men or women about men.
Interesting.
And families. It's just a curiosity question, quite frankly. I just wondered if you're aware of any programs like that. It just seems that our society, we really don't have many avenues to really get good education on that vital subject.
You know, I'm not aware of any police departments that have done that, but I will tell you that there's some innovative things being done in a number of high schools, and I suspect probably colleges too, where they're talking to, because some of these some of this pattern of violence starts as early as when people are dating at the high school level, frankly, and so that sort of imprint takes on often very early in people's lives. And I think there's some very interesting curriculum out there that gets even young people talking and learning with each other about different strategies for communication, problem resolution, anger management, et cetera, that can have an impact on DV later on. And that's probably a step in the right direction.
Dr. Lehman, yeah. Would you like to do a follow-up, please?
Yeah, just as a point of information, you know, we started a charter school here in Tucson. We've about doubled enrollment for next year. We'll be around 1,000 students. But when you walk in Lehman Academy of Excellence, the first thing you see are pictures of kids who've been voted the encourager in their classroom. And what we try to teach kids is they're not the center of the world, and other people count. And you're right. You have to move down, I think, to the early ages to really try to make a significant dent in this problem. But anyway, just welcome to Tucson. I know you'll do a great job. I've done some things with TPD. There's some great people down there, and we wish you just the best. And by the way, Bill has been married forever, and so so am I. So we're helping to get that
7-year
average a little higher.
44 years on May 5th coming up. Thank you, Dr. Lehman.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring Dylan back into this.
On the subject of domestic violence, it's my gut instinct is that's something that's rather systemic, that kids see their parents do this, see their families do this, and learn that that's a way to behave. It's not so much an individualized problem. Is that correct?
Oh, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And that's why I think we're learning even in policing that when we respond to domestic violence calls, we probably need to give more attention than we have in the past as a profession to the impact on younger people. Arizona is actually a little unusual in that it has some laws that really tie exposing young people to domestic violence into it's actually a crime in and of itself. But there really has to be an awareness on the part of responding officers of the impact that that can have on young people. And we probably need not only to be doing follow-up with the victim of DV, but recognize that victimization carries on even into children in a family or others who are exposed to that over time.
You know, there is really no standardization on police statistics. We'll hear one group will say, oh, Tucson has the most crime of any city in Arizona per capita, and another group will say it's some other place. We really, police chiefs, you and your profession, do need a standardization. I know we have the FBI crime statistics, but those can be, well, maybe manipulated.
Well, sure. And then you put your finger on a fairly significant problem nationally, because as the national debate sort of rages on about police conduct and of course crime is always something we're going to be talking about nationally, but it's very difficult because the way crime is collected and provided from different jurisdictions around the country varies widely. Even issues about, you know, officer-involved shootings and this sort of thing is very, very inconsistent. There are a number of, in fact, very large jurisdictions that don't provide certain kinds of information at all to the FBI, and some of that data collection is still surprisingly voluntary. So one of the things I do appreciate about Tucson Police Department coming in here as a new chief is that there's not a lot of gamesmanship going on with how data is provided and shared, not only within the state, but at a national level. I think there's really a lot of integrity here in terms of counting the numbers accurately, not trying to characterize crimes in a way that makes them seem less serious or, you know, because I think if we're going to really effectively address crime and engage the community in that, we have to start from a place of honesty. I mean, if we see crime trending up in a certain area, let's talk about that. Let's share that so we can come up with some better prevention strategies. But if we're not honest, even within among ourselves about what's happening, I don't think that's a good thing.
The latest batch of Tucson data doesn't show up on the FBI website, but Tucson submitted that to the state government, and then it sort of got bungled at the state level, and the FBI wouldn't take that batch of data. So there's in a way, there's a hole, but I think most of that info is available on the TPD website.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to move in that direction. I mean, I was saying to several folks that I think the term transparency has become now one of the new buzzwords and perhaps is overused for what it really represents. But I do believe that, I mean, we're using taxpayer money, for starters, and we're doing probably one of the most important functions for the community. So we've got to be honest and thorough and what we share with the community, and that comes back to crime data and many other things.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. What about, what restaurant have you gone to any that have stood out so far?
You know, everywhere we've gone with our whole whopping 3 weeks here in the community has been surprising. I shouldn't say surprisingly good, but you know, I didn't come here thinking I was going into such an interesting eating environment.
Yeah, it's
and
very,
it's very dangerous, I think, because I'm really going to have to watch it. But no, we're really.
You can pack on the pounds in Tucson very quickly.
Yeah, we've been impressed. So we're always open to recommendations, too.
All right. Well, for Italian food, I, of course, like Vero Amore, they've been one of my sponsors since the very beginning. And I think they have the best pizza in town. So you have to check it out, Chief.
Okay, good to
Vero
know.
Amore.
All right,
Chief Magnus, thank you very much. Good luck to you. We'll be having you back often, I hope.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you very much, sir. And good luck to you. And if people have questions about TPD, is the website a good place to begin or what?
It is. We have a very accessible website. We're also on Facebook. I have a Twitter account. We're looking at lots of interesting ways to get the word out. We're going to be expanding that in the future. We welcome people's feedback and ideas. This really is what a community partnership's about.
Thank you very much. Dylan Smith will stick around. Dylan will be with us as Sarah Garrett Gasson is waiting in the wings. Sarah is the editorial writer from the Arizona Daily Star. It's our Friday Roundtable right after more. Todd Rundgren.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where we see the light. I saw the light. Todd Rundgren, 1972. It is Rock and Roll Friday. Bump music on the Buckmaster Show. Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
It's kind of sedate for rock and roll.
I don't know. And then Sarah Garrett Gasson, who loves music.
I do indeed.
Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And I know she likes 60s music, but I always kind of stick my foot in my mouth on that one, because I know Sarah was far too young.
I didn't arrive on
about
the planet
60s stuff, but
till the early 70s.
We're talking about last week's performer, Bonnie Tyler.
Junior high.
Yeah, okay.
For me.
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
A mega hit.
Yeah, big hit.
I remember calling the radio station over and over and over on our dial phone requesting it.
Well, I wanted to hear it. I wanted to hear it last week, but it didn't qualify for my 60s bump music. So guess what? I changed the rules.
And you can do that. It's your show.
It's my show. So that way we can do what we want to hear and play what we want to hear. I was impressed with what the chief had to say. I think he has his demeanor was excellent, very professional.
You know, when they were doing those interviews with the citizens committee that they set up to review the candidates, I sat there all day listening to all of the questions that were asked of those three candidates for chief, and Magnus really stood out as somebody who had, I think, at least it appeared from listening to his answers as somebody who had done more research into what Tucson had going on, what our problems are, what TPD has been doing, and I'm not a cop, so I don't really know all of the behind the scenes things mm-hmm. that it takes to be mm-hmm. a chief of police. But as far as being somebody who had the public leadership potential to tackle that role, he seemed like the guy.
Well, Jeff Rogers, attorney who is had Facebooked me and said that. You're going to get a chance to meet him. He understood he was going to be on the show. He said, you're going to be real impressed. Jeff was part of that Citizens mm-hmm. Commission
yes.
that recommended very strongly.
And he changed his mind as he was sitting there listening to the interviews. Rogers was pretty worked up that there were no local candidates okay. who had made it to the finalists and really saw that as a problem. But through those interviews, he completely changed his mind. So...
Sarah, when are the lawmakers going to stop playing games?
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
I know, up in Phoenix about this JTED thing, the Joint Technical Education District. I heard Steve Farley on Sean's program this morning. He was talking about now it's in the House. The governor right. said that, okay, if it comes to his desk, he's going to sign reinstating funding for JTED. But guess what? Now it's back over at the House after passing right. the Senate, and they're not so sure.
Yeah, part of it is everyone wants to take credit because the JTED program is very popular with voters and with parents and students.
And with people in the business community.
Right, right. I mean, it's the guy I go to for my mechanic is involved and speaks very highly of the program. So part of it is everyone wants their hands on it to be able to say, I saved JTED. And
yeah, after all, there's an election coming up right. this year, so they right. could say, and that was one of my big accomplishments, saving JTED.
Especially those right. who previously voted to basically kill JTED.
Right. So, a lot of it is the back and forth, and there's an amendment that would fix a problem in the original language that would have basically kicked out a pretty sizable group of students by not letting them continue in the program to finish, I think, until July 1st when the fiscal year starts. And so there's talk about fixing that. But basically, I think it just boils down to how do I get my fingerprints on this?
Well, I hope that it will be on the governor's desk before I speak with the governor, who will be on this program Tuesday. And I hope we will be able to say or ask the governor, has it been signed yet?
Right. Well, and I think another important thing to ask the governor about that is he was a big part of it being unfunded. And
came right out of his office.
Right. It was not in his budget.
So how did we even get to this point?
Well, it's something that the voters really are vocal about. He wanted something to come through his office rather than the JTED, just very broad strokes. So, yeah, it wasn't even in his budget. So I hope you'll have a chance to ask him mm-hmm. about that because okay. it's something that the business community supports. It's working. It's effective. And what was the deal?
And the sense of urgency comes from school districts needing to tell the teachers who are teaching these vocational courses right. whether they're going to have a contract for next year. And they have a legal deadline.
I think it's early next week.
That's coming up mm-hmm. very, very soon to tell teachers, yes, we're giving you a contract for next year, or no, we're not.
Right.
And, if they go past this, they're going to have to tell people, well, we might be able to hire you back later. And leave people just hanging out in the wind.
And from the student and family perspective, there's nothing that basically kills a program faster than an uncertainty. And you're going to have kids kind of left in the lurch. So it needs to get wrapped up. It needs to just give credit to everyone and let's get it done.
A big piece of paper and everybody gets to sign it as right. large as they want.
Yeah, and have a huge news conference with everybody in the background.
Because everyone pays attention to that.
And everybody gets to talk for 12 and a half minutes. And,
yes.
Steve Christie, longtime auto dealer with Jeep, Steve Christie Jeep, 35 years, I think he said to me. I talked to him on the phone. And Dylan, you had talked to him when the news came out that Ray Carroll was not going to be seeking election, going to be retiring after 20 years. And you were one of the first to put that Steve was going to announce, and he did on Thursday. So that's going to be an interesting situation there.
Well, you've got a what by a traditional look at the Republican Party would be a fairly establishment, business-oriented, conservative Republican, and a Tea Party Republican who's actually last year announced that she wanted to take on Ray Carroll and try and unseat him in the primary. So there's going to be a race there, and really that Republican primary coming up in August will probably be essentially the election in District 4, which runs from the Catalina Mountains down the east side of Tucson all the way to Green Valley. The Democrats have not run a candidate in that district at all during Ray Carroll's entire term of office, and I can't even remember how long before that they ever ran anybody for the Board of Supervisors there.
They're not going to do it this time, I would be fairly certain. Marla Clausen is her name, and we spoke with her on the radio this week. She was on the show, and she'll be going against Steve Christie in the primary. It's going to be very interesting. So, Sarah, Christie has to prove to those within the Republican Party that kind of he is not Ray Carroll, and he's his own man, and he's got his own ideas on things.
Right. I mean, he's very conservative, as I recall. He was very vocal against Gabby Giffords in the last go-around some years back. So, but Steve Christie also has a long time history in Tucson. I mean, he's chair of the Arizona State Transportation Board, so he has some state experience. He's been part of the Tucson Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce. He does have those strong roots and those ties, and so this will come down to, I think, the business friendly, I don't want to say establishment, but established person, and versus, as Dylan said, a Tea Party candidate who doesn't speak to the voters in the same way.
It's going to be, I think, pretty much a dogfight, and probably one of the hottest local races we've seen in a long time. I mean, this is an open seat, and open seats really don't pop up that often on the Board of Supervisors. Very often somebody gets appointed to fill a vacancy and then sort of, is able to run as having been an incumbent for a year or so and, get that name recognition behind
them. Very, very interesting election coming up at the Board of Supervisors because they're, of course, the Republicans hoping to get the three-member majority. Mm-hmm. And Sharon Bronson is going to have an opponent. Kim DeMarco is running against Sharon, and looks like the only one that will not have an opponent was my guest yesterday, Richard Elias, Pima County Supervisor. Kelly Ward is running against John McCain.
Yes.
And Kelly is a former Lake Havasu City Republican, state senator over there. She resigned her position so she could run full-time against Senator McCain in the upcoming Republican primary. Boy, that, when it comes to, funding a campaign, McCain, Sarah Garrett Gasson, has a ton of money compared to what Kelly has put up.
Oh, absolutely.
Millions of dollars.
Yes, I think the technical term is bazillions. but Kelly Ward does have a bus with her face on it.
Yes.
I've seen it and parked in the Star parking lot, actually, and it's pretty snazzy. Mm-hmm. But she has an uphill battle. I mean, everyone in the country knows John McCain, and not everyone in Arizona knows Kelly Ward, except her constituency, which is very far right.
People concerned about chemtrails.
Yes, chemtrails, very important. And so she has support, but it's very narrow and it might be deep, but it's not going to have the name recognition or the just sort of marquee value that John McCain has.
The city of Tucson, and you brought this up a little bit with the chief about He's going to have to make some tough decisions in his department, as will every department head in the city of Tucson. The red ink is what, $12 million, something like that, at least?
In that range, and it really kind of depends on how you end up tallying things up and how you're going to make it pencil out at the very end of the year.
They didn't get enough buyouts, apparently.
Right.
From the right people, they got more people who voluntarily retired than they thought they were going to, but they weren't highly enough paid to add up to the amount that they wanted to get as a target.
Well, I think that Mr. Ortega, Michael Ortega, has been getting very high marks, is again being very professional, Sarah, mm-hmm. in his approach to this, that it's just got to be a different way of doing business. And that's what he's trying to accomplish, make the city more business-like.
And yes, that is mm-hmm. What I've heard him say, and I think he has, or at least has had, a good working relationship with the county, which is good, and maybe there's some things there that could be partnerships or something to save a few bucks here and there. But we also need to, I think it's good that they hired someone who's familiar with Tucson, but isn't from within Tucson, to kind of come in, take a fresh look, not attached in the ways that people become when you're part of a system for so long and you rise up through the ranks. So I think it's good that we have someone like that, a city manager.
You know, when it comes down to it, the city is going to have to stop doing certain things to save the money that needs to be saved in the budget. You know, we've mm-hmm. pretty much cut every little bit of fat, and now we're down into mm-hmm. cutting meat and, you know, getting very, very close to the bone. And there's going to be a lot of people whose backs are going to get up based on what suggestions are made to cut where.
In right.
a, you know, I think over the next few months, we're going to see some very serious political fights about that.
All right. Sarah Garrett-Gasson, we will look for your column each Thursday in the Arizona Daily Star, also your editorials. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
And Dylan, we'll look for your work on TucsonSentinel.com. Interesting piece by your columnist, and I'm out of time, but I just wanted to put a word in, Blake.
Blake Morlock.
Morlock, did he?
What the devil won't tell you, Blake will.
That was an excellent piece that he did about the Ray Carroll situation in retirement. So I urge folks to check it out, TucsonSentinel.com.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on. I hope both of you have a great weekend. I mean, can it be any warmer in February?
All you have to do is
What's it going to be like in July?
I know.
Hopefully there's no correlation, right? Anyway. Okay, Tom, take it away. Todd Rundgren, one of my favorites. It wouldn't have made any difference. Go ahead.
Do you remember the last time I said, if I ever thought of lying, I'd rather think of dying instead. And maybe you remember the last time you called me to say we were through.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here.
Aren't you?
John Lewis.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Dave Barry.
Great to see you.
It's Ryan Jeffries.
Thanks for coming.
I'm Ryan Hansen.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Viner.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Feeney.
I didn't know you were coming.
Joseph Blair.
You're
Bill Viner.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Hussey.
I know that face.
Bruce Beek.
Aren't you?
Bob Logan.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
Hey, it's Gilbert Luna, our director of operations. He's incredible. So good to see you. How you doing, Gilbert?
I'm doing great. Hey, Ken, looks like we did it again. Another 5-star event.
Man, wait until everybody finds out what we have in the works, like our Monteverdi Grill. It's a gourmet kitchen on wheels, a 5-star restaurant. It's incredible. And our new high-tech selfie photo booth. Wow, it will be a hit at any special event. Learn more online at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. It's all right here.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, the president and CEO of the award-winning Russell Public Communications and Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, hosts our Weekend Watch brought to us by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Makes a great road trip just 3 hours east of Tucson, and there is so much to do over in that area. Great places to recreate, including the Gila National Wilderness, and wonderful places to stay like Silver City KOA and Spirit Canyon Lodge, just to name a few. The full listing of places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Love is in the air, Cupid is calling, and Matt Russell has it all.
Bill, happy Valentine's
Thank
Day
you,
weekend
sir.
To you. We've got love dialed up in surround sound this weekend. Now, the right way to strike up a little romance this weekend is with some wine inspired by Cupid himself. So head over to Valentine's Wine Tasting today at Catavinos Wine Shop over there on North Alvernon. Now, you're going to get a flight of 6 premium wines for only $10, starting with some bubbly and moving into some other selections that just exude romance. Now, if you buy a bottle, you'll get a couple of bucks taken off the tasting. And remember, at Catavinos, there's not a bottle there that's over $15. So bring your sweetie to Catavinos today from 4 to 8 p.m. and let the love flow.
Really, Valentine's Day Sunday, but the dinner can begin really right now.
Yeah, that's right. There's some great deals happening on Sunday, but one local resort could not wait for the big day, so they're going to start the celebration a little early tomorrow. The Westward Look Resort is going to be welcoming lovebirds with a 3-course dinner for two at their iconic Gold Restaurant, only $59 a person. The pan-roasted duck breast with sweet potato hash would get my nod.
Mm.
But, of course, there are other great options to choose from. Spoil the one you love tomorrow night at Westward Look.
Wildflower does a nice job here in town.
Yeah, when Cupid comes calling on Sunday, Bill, I always think Wildflower on Oracle and Ina. They've always been on the list of my favorite restaurants. And Chef Eddie Coronado and his all-star team are going to be delivering a culinary experience on Sunday night, where love sits at the center of the plate. Their special three-course meal is just $55 a person, featuring dishes from Spanish paella to a wood-fired New York steak and seemingly everything in between. Now, I'm going to end my night with the huckleberry tart and vanilla creme fraiche, but that's just me. Fall in love all over again on Sunday night for dinner at Wildflower.
Big heart to you this weekend, Matt. Thanks.
Right back to you, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content, on behalf of our entire team here at KVOI. Doug and Mary Martin, the owners, operations manager, and my producer, engineer, Monday through Thursday, Ray Allen. Producer, production ace, Jerry Cross. Producer, Ed Alexander. Of course, Tom Fairbanks, my guy on Friday. My executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, who's been with me since the beginning of the venture over 5 years ago. And remember, we do lots of local talk here, 6 hours during the week, and of course, lots of local talk on the weekend, including Charles Heller with Swap Shop Trains A-Comin'. That train is coming down the track, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.